Hey, good morning. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." And when Herod the king heard it, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he began to inquire of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called the Magi and ascertained for them the time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make careful search for the child. And when you have found him, report to me that I too may come and worship him." And having heard the king, they went their way. And lo, the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And they came into the house and saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And opening their treasures, they presented him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt and was there until the death of Herod. And what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, "Out of Egypt did I call my son." And when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged and sent and slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its environs from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had ascertained from the Magi. And that which was spoken through the Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled, saying, "A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted because they were no more." But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise and take the child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." And he rose and took the child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and being warned by God in a dream, he departed for the regions of Galilee and came and resided in a city called Nazareth, and that what was spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled, "He shall be called a Nazarene." Amen. And so, you know, from yesterday, right? Remember, the main objective that Matthew has in writing this particular book is to lead, you know, all the Jews that had just converted to Christianity, and to basically tell them that this is actually the fulfillment of Judaism, right? That this doesn't go against their belief system at all, or all the stuff that they've learned in the past. This actually is the culmination of what all the prophets and what all our fathers had told us in the past. It's happening right now. And you'll notice that, especially in chapter 2, you got four prophecies, you know, that he lays out, right? He quotes Micah, he quotes Hosea, he quotes Jeremiah, you know, he quotes a little bit of Isaiah, you know, and so he's constantly going to the Old Testament, you know, and he's bringing it back into the context of what's happening right now, you know, or what, you know, what happened through Jesus' life, and to thus confirm, hey, you know, you don't have to leave your faith, you know, you actually are fulfilling your faith as a good Jewish person. And we have this incredible scene that he's visited by the Magi. Actually, I'm saying it wrong. The word is actually Magi, right? But it's, you know, I'm doing the American version, right? I'm so used to it. It's like, you know, it's not Iraq, right? You know, it's Iraq, you know, but we use, any case, so I just keep using Magi as I'm so used to saying that. And so the Magi, what they were actually a caste of wise men, and I'll tell you why they're wise in a second. And they specialize in astrology, medicine, and natural sciences. And so these guys were scientists, you know, they were also astrologers, you know, and they were waiting for something. You know, in this time, everyone was waiting for something, right? And so they see this star, and they just knew, you know, that this star was significant, that it meant something. And, you know, which really gets to the point of why they were wise. They weren't wise because they were intelligent. Actually, the reason why they were called wise men, the Magi, was actually because they understood the significance of the times that they were living in. That's what made them wise, right? They had a clear, very clear understanding of what was going on in the times around them. You know, and so they come and, you know, they meet Herod, you know, because, I mean, they're on their way. They're going to meet the king of the Jews, eventually the king of all kings. And they make their way there, and because they were wise men, they go meet the king. The king's like, you know, he lies, right? Oh, yeah, you know, let me know where he is. I'm gonna go worship and bow down before him. It's a total lie. He wanted to basically kill anyone that came into, you know, that basically threatened his rulership, you know, during that time. And you know, this goes to say, notice these guys, right? So Herod calls the Jews together, and he basically tells them, hey, you know, what is this king of the Jews that you're talking about? You know, and remember the Jewish scholars, not in Matthew, but in other scholars, they say, oh, yeah, it's Micah 5, chapter 2. Yeah, he's going to be born in Bethlehem, blah, 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 and stuff. And yet, in the same time, even though they understood, right, or they had the, you know, by heart they knew the verses and they knew where it was going to happen, they were not wise like these guys were. And they just like, oh, okay, yeah, sure, it's going to happen. And that was it. But yet these wise men, because they understood the times that we're living in, they actually went. And then you had all these Jewish scholars that, you know, I mean, really for their whole life, they've been waiting for the Messiah. And yet they wouldn't dare to venture a few miles down the road. You know, if you've ever been in Jerusalem, Bethlehem is right around the corner. You know, just a few miles down the road, they didn't even venture to do that because they weren't wise. You know, they didn't have this understanding. And so, so the Magi go to this place, and notice what they do, right? They come and they are extremely filled with joy when they see the star hovering over the stable. They go in and they give three gifts, right? And if you're a pregnant, or if you're a mother that just gave birth, right? These gifts are almost ridiculous to receive, you know? I mean, if you really think about it, right? I mean, we just had a kid, right? You know, Eunsung just had a kid. You know, and so I'm sure no one, did anyone give you any oil, right? Or, you know, I mean, it's almost ridiculous, right, that these guys would do, but see, they were wise. You know, they knew the times that they were living in. They knew the significance of the event that was transpiring at that moment. You know, I heard that, you know, if the Magi, if they sent their wives, the wives would have brought them good gifts, you know, some diapers and, you know, some clothing and some food or something. But these guys bring gold. I mean, obviously, if someone gave me gold, I wouldn't mind, right? By the way, if you want to give Hannah gold, I'm fine with that. And so he gets the gold. Gold, right, was always a sign of kingship. And so when they came and brought gold to the baby Jesus, not only did they give him gold, they bowed down to him at the same time. And so, because they knew, right? They knew they had this. They knew the significance of what was happening. They knew that this baby was a king, and so they brought the gold and they knelt and they bowed down before this king, right? They recognized his kingship, that he is not just king of the Jews, that he is king of all kings, right? And then the next thing they bring, right? They bring him frankincense. I mean, what a ridiculous gift to give a little kid. But frankincense, if you are familiar, it's an essential oil. Frankincense actually is what they call the oil of communication. And frankincense, there's some properties in frankincense. And what it does, it's traditionally, historically, right? It's been used, and people say it's been used, it brings people like in a state of ease. You know, like the smells and the sounds, you know, there's no sound, but, you know, the smell of the oil, and it makes people at ease, and it's been used all throughout in Eastern religions, you know, as to say that you get, you know, when you pray the incense, you use the frankincense, and it brings you closer to God. And it was known as the oil of communication, you know, and what these guys were saying when they gave, right, when they gave the oil to this baby, they were saying that God has come down to communicate with us. You know, Jesus would later say, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know, and this is what, you know, John would take a hold of, and he says, he is the Logos. You know, God, you know, being in intelligence, Logos being intelligence, but Logos, you know, in the beginning it says, in the beginning was the Word. Logos literally means intelligence that could be understood in human terms, right? That's who God is, right? God is God. He's this big, you know, figure. I have no idea who he is, you know, but when Jesus came down, he communicated to us who God was. right? You've seen me, he says, you've seen the Father. I and the Father, we are one. You know, and so when they laid down this frankincense before this baby, they were saying, wow, God has come to communicate with us. And so we have come down here to communicate with God. You know, and that's who Jesus became for them and for all of us, right? He is our, you know, there is only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. You know, and so Jesus literally became that place of communication where anybody can come and talk with God through his son Jesus. And the last thing they brought to him was myrrh, right? This is probably the craziest of all the gifts. Myrrh, especially in this time, it was used primarily in burials. You know, it was basically the scent that they used to bury people. You know, and so when they brought the myrrh to the Lord Jesus, they recognized that this baby would die for us at some point. You know, and in a way, even in his birth, he was being prepared to die. Yeah, very significant. You know, so they bring the gold and they're saying, Jesus, you are the king. You're just a little baby, you know, and you're not in very high and lofty environment, right? There's pig's trough over here. In fact, you know, his crib was a pig's trough. You know, it's literally where the pigs fed. You know, and it's smelly in here, but you are the king of all kings, and we bow down to you. Not only that, we bring you this frankincense, and we understand that you are our communication to God. You are our link with God, this seemingly unknowable God, and you are that link. And so they laid the frankincense, and then they laid the myrrh down before him and basically said, Lord, you know, you came to die for us. You know, and I mean, such a, now you see, wow, these guys are really wise, you know. No wonder they're called the wise men. I mean, these guys really, I mean, more than anything, they understood the significance of the time that they were living in. You know, and to most of the world, totally insignificant event. You know, Bethlehem, I mean, like, what, you know, it's like, it's a no place town. You know, and here is the king of all kings born in a pig's trough, you know, in this little barn, right, in the middle of Palestine, in the middle of nowhere. So insignificant, right, that only the people come out are a bunch of shepherds, right, and three astrologers from the east, and they make their way there, but they recognize the significance of that event, you know, and they give the Lord Jesus, baby Jesus, the homage that's due him and him alone. And so they continue on. They're warned by a dream, and you notice that God really speaks to people in dreams a lot in the book of Matthew. You know what I mean? I mean, in this, even in chapter 2, we have three dreams right here, right? And I mean, it's pretty significant, right? That God does speak to us a lot of times when we're sleeping, you know, and not every dream is from God, okay? It's, don't go crazy and stuff, but there are some significant times, and you'll know, you know what I mean? You'll know when God's speaking to you in a dream. And so he comes and, you know, and then and Herod, then he slaughters all the babies because they get tricked by the Magi, you know. And so he takes, you know, every around Bethlehem, all in that region, right, and he kills basically every born child, male child, two and under, you know. And this really goes to, like, you see, like, basically pretty much face to face, you see who's operating behind Herod, right? It's the devil. Do you remember what happened, you know, maybe a couple thousand years before this in another place called Egypt, right? And God was about to release the deliverer, right, that would lead people out of slavery, you know, his name was Moses, you know, and what did Pharaoh, right, same thing, right? The enemy working behind the political figure, right, went and slew all the little baby boys. You know, and now we see history repeating itself, and because now we have not just the deliverer that is going to free people from slavery from Egypt, but now we have the deliverer that's going to free people from the slavery of sin, right, and death eternally. And so the enemy comes, and this is like, you know, remember Paul says, we are not unaware of his schemes. You remember that, right? He knows what the enemy does. And this is like, you know, like knowing Satan 101, you know, like understanding his actions 101. He will always try to circumvent the potential that God has in people's lives. You know what I mean? In other words, right, before that the believer reaches their potential in God, before they can accomplish any great thing in God, the enemy will try all that he can do, right, to thwart that potential in our lives. He did it before you became a Christian, you know, and he continues to do it before you encounter something fantastic, I mean miraculous in your life, right? There will always be warfare, right, before breakthrough, right? Don't kid yourself about that, right? There will always be warfare before there's a breakthrough. I mean, I spoke on Daniel 10, you know, just this past Sunday, right? There's always warfare before breakthrough. You know, because what the enemy wants you to do is he wants you to quit. He doesn't want you to realize the potential that's inside of you and the potential of what God wants to do in our lives, and so he'll kill it, right? Because he can, you know, because that's easy for him, right? I mean, you know, is it much easier to fight the man Jesus or to try to squash the baby Jesus? You know what I mean? I mean, it just makes sense, doesn't it? And things, and so the enemy will always try to do that. I've seen that working in my life. I've seen that working in your lives, you know, and seemingly doesn't it seem like sometimes, and I know that a lot of times, you know, I mean, it may not be the best model or the best mode, but I can probably say that for a lot of us here, the times that we hit the heights of our faith in God, you know, in other words, that we really, you know, I mean, are charged to go for it in God, it was probably a very low valley that we came from, usually through sin or something, you know, or whatnot, you know, or circumstances. And out of those circumstances, you know, God uses, you know, and he doesn't cause it, but he uses that to lift us up, you know, into the place that we have always ought to have been in the beginning. It always works like that, right? You know, maybe someone loses a job, or maybe someone loses their boyfriend or their girlfriend, you know, or someone makes a stupid mistake along the way, whatnot. And what that is, it's the warfare. It's the enemy just pounding on us, you know. And God turns evil for good, you know. I mean, that's one of his things. But it'd be even better if we just kept fighting, right, and didn't succumb, you know, and thus even soar even higher in the Lord. But the enemy does this all the time, right? He's always, you know, trying to kill the potential before it begins, you know. And you know, maybe in your life right now, maybe you're in a place and you need some serious breakthrough, you know. But there is serious warfare going on, right? Don't give up, you know. That's what the enemy does, right? This is like, you know, Satan 101, you know. Don't give up. Keep fighting the fight. You know, and breakthrough will come, you know, in the same way that came here for Jesus in this place. All right, so let's close our eyes today. Number one, as a reflection today, do you know the significance of the time that you're living in right now? In Jesus the Christ. Do you know that Jesus is the King of all kings? Or is he just some historical figure to you? Just some religious figure at best? Or do you recognize that he is the King of all kings who came to communicate with us, that's still available to us in communication, and ultimately came to die for us? And the other thought that we can meditate on is, are you experiencing a lot of warfare right now over your life? It's good news. God wants to do something. Right? Before breakthrough, there's always warfare. Before resurrection, there's always death. Right? Before the calm, there's always a storm. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you to keep fighting the good fight of faith. And as Jisun leads us in a song of worship, let's go before the Lord in worship and in prayer and praise and humility. And let's offer our gold and frankincense and myrrh before the King of all kings.
Yeah. Here I am waiting. Here I am waiting. Abide in me, I pray. Here I am longing for you.
Let's pray this morning. Let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray that we would be wise as well. That we would take advantage and really understand what God is doing today in our lives. And that we'd operate out of that wisdom, right? And that we'd always recognize the Lord as our King. Maybe some of you are going through a time of warfare. Let's pray for strength. Let's pray for a real perseverance to really fight the good fight of faith. Because breakthrough is coming, right? So resurrection is coming, you know. And sometimes we don't know why it has to happen this way, but it just seems like it's the biblical pattern, right? And let's just give ourselves to prayer in this regard. Let's pray together. Let's go to our mission prayer focus, and let's pray for North Korea. Let's pray for the church, the persecuted church there. Let's pray for our friend Chris Kim. Let's ask God to bless him and his community. Let's pray for God's favor, you know, in this region in the midst of all the tensions that are going on in the peninsula. You know, let's ask God to do something significant. You know, this is once what they call the Jerusalem of Asia. Right, and let's just really pray that God would really, you know, dig up the wells of revival once again in this place, and that the Spirit of Jesus would continue to hover over this land. Let's also pray for Bhutan. Let's ask God to continue to move in this country. You know, they just legalized Christianity a little while ago, which is, you know, I mean, if you think about it, just absolutely incredible. You know, and, you know, my good friend Tom and his family are there right now. Let's pray for them and pray for their ministry and the basketball league they want to start up. And I think Jonathan is going. Did he get his visa? He got his visa? Oh, okay. So he'll be going there as well. And so let's just cover the two countries and the people right now. Let's go to our church prayer focus. Let's pray for Febe Ministries, our Indonesian ministry. Let's pray for Pastor Selamat and Mimi and the kids and their ministry, and pray that God would continue to move and really touch, and we'd see many Indonesians in Hong Kong come to know Jesus. And let's pray for real grace and covering. Let's also pray for the Korean church. Pray for the Lord to continue to move in the midst of all that's going on there. Some of you guys may or may not know, but the senior pastor just left the Korean church, and so they're having to look for a new one now. And you know, now there's a few new elders, and so really pray that at this time, right, this transition will be the last one for a long time, and that Jesus would really move upon this church. So let's lift up the Indonesian ministry and the Korean ministry. Let's pray for our house churches. We start next week with our Tuesday house churches. Pray for Star Street and the Morels and Seymour Road and the Kims, and for Lam Kwai Fong, for Sophia and Matt. And let's ask God to bless them and give them another nice week of rest, and they'll be really on fire and ready to go into this new season. Let's pray for the people to really come together and really fall in love with each other and fall in love with the Lord. And let's pray for real significant times of ministry in these evenings. And let's pray for our SP move. Let's pray that God would really open up doors for us and that we'd find a new space quickly for our kids and for ourselves, and that Jesus would continue to enlarge our vision, enlarge our borders. Pray for the finances to come through as well, and people's pledges. And you know, we'll actually start a new pledge at the end of this month. And let's pray for the Lord to really have His hand. Let's pray for the Vine as well, that they would, fundraise, and have enough money to move into their building as well. They're moving at the end of February or mid-February. And let's pray, that the space would be released to us. So let's just ask God's hand upon this. Let's go to our one member prayer focus, since no one is giving their prayer requests. Let's pray for Mary. Let's pray for her work, and you can read it on here. Pray for her personal lives, that she stopped believing the lies, and pray for her parents to truly experience the Lord, and for her friends, Jay and Sam, to make a decision for Christ, and God would really move upon their lives. So let's just lift up Mary right now. Thank you. Lord, we thank you today, God. Lord, we pray, God, for a real wisdom, God, that comes down from heaven, Father. Lord, that we would be like the Magi, God. We would understand the significance, Lord, one, of why you saved us, God. The significance of us living here in Hong Kong, Lord, for such a time as this, God. And God, that you would just allow us more than anything else, God, to always, Lord, give you glory, Lord, to always be in a place where we bow down, Father, before you. Yeah, we thank you, Lord, this day. We pray that you would just continue to strengthen us. We thank you for a day of fasting. I know many of us are feeling weak and sluggish and headaches and colds and whatnot. And we pray for healing word to come over each one of us, God, that we would be able to fight the good fight of faith in this season that you called us to. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, Father God. We love you so much, Lord. Watch over us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today. Stay strong. Stay warm. You know, and we'll see you guys tomorrow morning.